Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The South Dakota congressional campaign became intensely personal this week as Democratic candidate Paula Hawk shared the story of her own sexual assault. We're going to talk about how that changes a campaign, but not necessarily how it changes the presidential campaign. Today, we keep the focus tightly in South Dakota. And with us for this and much more are the Dakota Political Junkies. Today, we welcome John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Always glad to have you. And also joining us is Roger Whittle. He's managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure, Lori.
Let's start with this sharing of a sexual assault story by Paula Hawks during a debate. Obviously, we wouldn't be having this conversation without Donald Trump's comments, but I'd like to set that on the shelf for just a moment, if we can, and really talk about how this impacts the race between Hawks and Noem, if we can. Let's start with, is this story something that sort of transcends the campaign and the political realm, or is it really key to it at this point? John, you want to start with that thought?
Sure, yeah, I do think it transcends it. It would not be part of this if it weren't for the Trump video and Representative Noem's response to that. So it is a big part of that. Even Paula herself said, I never would have expected to kind of go public with this story until those terms kind of came. And I'm confident that she's not doing it to try to win. In other words, mm-hmm. That's not part of a elected strategy, a campaign strategy, but nevertheless, it has defined who she is, and she has stated that, and it does, I think, add a little something to this, to the interest in this campaign, and how each of them react. Obviously, Representative Noem is not in favor of sexual assault, right? I mean, she's together important bills against trafficking and so forth, but it does certainly kind of highlight maybe there's a dichotomy there when you say you're against these things, but you're still supporting the nominee who has these. So I mean, it's an interesting story. It's a tragic story in a lot of ways, and I think we're seeing a lot more public outcry and awareness of this, and I think that seems to be often a first step to solving it. But I'm eager to hear Roger's view, too.
Roger, go ahead. You have any initial thoughts?
Well, I agree with John that, yeah, it was an interesting big development, but I don't really think it's going to have much of an impact on the election between Paula Hawks and Kristi Noem. I think that I have to mention the T word here, when the presidential candidate, this all came out a week or so ago, it really did not change anything within the state that I've noticed. In fact, people around here are more upset with the coverage of of Trump's words than the actual words themselves. So, I think it's going to give Paula some sympathy from a lot of people, but I'm not sure it's going to change a lot of votes in the election. And I think Kristi Noem had just a wonderful response to it. They both took the high road. I think it's interesting, but I don't think it's going to really impact the election much.
I think candidates often share personal stories of, if their father lost his job when they were little, or if they lost the farm, a death in the family. Those are often personal stories that are shared on the campaign trail that sort of define who people are. I can't think of too many other times, if any, where a candidate has really shared a story of, a personal violence against them in this way. John, does anything come to mind that there's been another candidate who's really openly talked about this on the campaign trail?
Well, it would seem it would be probably a first for revealing that kind of personal story for the first time. I think there have been a lot of candidates who, that's part of their life story and part of who they are, but the story has probably been published or released earlier. So yes, it is unusual. And again, I'm confident that it's not for political gain. It's her conscience, and I think that's a, That's admirable to do that. I can't imagine how difficult it would be to describe that, or at least say that it happened for the first time. So, I agree with Roger that I don't think it'll have a huge impact on the campaign, maybe a bit, but that's not why she did it. And you'd hope the greater good would come out of this somehow.
John, what are your thoughts on Kristi Noem's response? I haven't seen her original statement. I was able to read in the Argus Leader from Sioux Falls her words that they quoted from her statement. It said, "I am heartbroken to hear that something so horrific happened to my opponent. No one should ever have to go through something like that. And like most parents who heard her testimony, I went home and hugged my kids a little tighter that night."
Yeah, I think both candidates are opposed to any kind of sexual assault or softening of that of the laws against that, and I think they're both taking this in an admirable or demonstrating that in an admirable way.
Roger, let's talk about just this this campaign in general, Hawks versus Noem. How has it sort of shaped up over the months outside of this story that we just discussed? What kind of candidate has Hawks, what kind of challenger has Hawks proven to be?
Well, I think she's proven to be a strong candidate, but she's up against an even stronger candidate in a state that leans heavily Republican. I don't think Paula Hawks has come across as bad in anybody's eyes. I think she's a likable person. You know, she was a state lawmaker and has no really negatives going for her. But when you're up against an incumbent, a popular incumbent like Kristi Noem in a state that's heavily Republican, you're going to have your problems. And I saw the latest fundraising. She's way behind in fundraising from Kristi Noem. Of course, that's to be expected when the incumbent always has a huge advantage in that area. So, yeah, she has an uphill battle, but I think she's fighting a good fight.
John, what do you think about how Kristi Noem has sort of handled the challenge of Paula Hawks? Has it made her a better candidate herself?
I think that's possible. I think every campaign does that. I think you learn more as you go along. But as Roger indicated, the natural bias toward incumbents, it's almost has to be big mistakes by Representative Noem to lose. That's kind of how that goes. And in a lot of ways, I think it was an upset when she upset Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, who was in the incumbent, and there's a lot of things that went into that. But so far, I don't think that's going to be a close race unless Representative Noem does something to change that.
What sort of things are you talking about there, John, about what did Noem bring to the table that helped her upset Stephanie Herseth Sandlin?
Well, this is now a few years ago. Roger can attest to this too, but the Democrats were, I think, at least a little bit upset that Representative Herseth Sandlin had gone to the middle and really probably represented South Dakota better from that middle than from the far left that some people were doing. So I think she had some criticism within her own party that was probably unfair. Nevertheless, I think that started opening up the discussion of a possible other candidate, and that's kind of how that turned out.
Let's talk about Jay Williams, and what kind of campaign has he run up to this point? What are some of his strengths been, Roger?
Well, it's been a fairly low-key campaign from where I'm sitting. I get occasional press releases from him with the what you would expect from an underdog candidate going against a popular incumbent. But, I don't think he's done anything terribly wrong. He is being buried in fundraising. I think the last I saw, John Thune has about $10 million in his war chest. And Jay Williams has considerably less than that. So
what happens to that money? People donate to the campaign. What happens to it? It sits there?
John Thune has been giving money away to other Republican candidates in an effort to keep control of the Senate. I think I read somewhere he's given $2 million away to other Republican candidates for Senate because, of course, they're worried that with what's going on in the presidential race, that there's a chance they could lose control of the Senate. But I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, if you're done with politics, you can just keep anything left in your campaign chest.
I think it's possible they've just modified that. I think they grandfathered in some of that, but I think that's in transition right now. Nevertheless, I think there are still some openings for people to use that to reimburse personal expenses and so forth. So I think you can, but I think the days are winding to a close of just being able to buy a house in Palm Springs or something like that.
Roger, you mentioned earlier some complaints or grumbling that you've heard about the way the presidential campaign is being covered. Do you want to just sort of air some of those now?
Not really.
Not really. Let's talk about. Can we do our job better? Do you think yeah.
Well, I think this every year it seems that the electorate gets more and more polarized. Huh. So no matter what we do, we're going to get criticized. I run anti-Hillary cartoons, and I hear it from the Democrats. I run anti-Trump cartoons, and I hear it from the Republicans. But, you know, political cartoons have been around for hundreds of years. Hmm. But people are definitely, in my opinion, a little more sensitive this year to criticism than they have been in the past.
Let's talk a little bit about the Affordable Health Care Act and some of the problems with that. The Democratic Governor Mark Dayton from Minnesota said the Affordable Health Care Act is no longer affordable, looking at a crisis in health care in Minnesota. John, do you want to kind of lay out what some of our representatives and candidates are having to say right now about affordable health care moving into an election?
Well, I think it varies from candidate to candidate. I'm not sure you can make generalizations other than I think most people, most Democrats and Republicans believe that at the very least repair is needed to this or modification, and some people I think are still holding on to at least a little bit of the repeal it altogether kind of things. But and then the third leg to that stool is probably to postpone, which is right that until after this election, and you can kind of reassess the landscape for that. It would take a huge effort by someone to modify this, and so that probably involves President, both chambers of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, to get some sort of change to this. So it's an elephant in the room that I think people are willing to talk about and express their opinions, but I think at the very least, I think most candidates suggest change to it to either improve it or to try to return some of the market-based principles and less of the government control.
Roger, how much does this set up the conversation for Medicaid expansion in South Dakota when we move into the new session?
Well, it should. I mean, that's a lot of people are saying that one of the problems is that we're not expanding Medicare, which is contributing to the health insurance problems we've had. But about Obamacare, when Mark Dayton comes out and says there's a problem, you know, the system's in trouble, because he has always been a staunch advocate of the Affordable Care Act. So I think there's definitely going to be something done. The Republicans, of course, are saying scrap it all together, and the Democrats are saying, well, let's just fix what's wrong with it. You know, health insurance costs were rising pretty rapidly before the Affordable Care Act came along. That's kind of what spawned in the first place. So I don't think anything will get done before the election, of course. So I think it's and whether anything gets done after the election is a matter of opinion, too. But I think there will be a concerted effort after the new president is in to do something about it, because it certainly can't go on the way it is.
And I think Monday is the final day to register to vote for South Dakota, so make sure that everyone knows that and is ready to vote on Election Day. John Hunter, publisher of Madison Daily Leader, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Lori.
Always a pleasure. Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, always insightful as well. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Lori.